Yes, of course I like the sunshine, but now I'm back in Pennsylvania. That's okay. Yeah, the sun did creep out a little bit today. Peekaboo, a little sun came out. Usually, you know, we have three layers of clouds. You know, I think I explained this before. You have the regular layer, and then you have the safety layer in case the lower layer breaks up. The safety layer is there to protect the sun from sight. But today, it poked through just for me. I know God did that for me. I'm back in the Great White North, but I'm glad to be back doing this show, and I'm glad to be back talking with you. Oh, I'd like to thank everybody in Florida that made my stay great. I'd like to thank Bob Wigden in Sarasota. Well, first of all, the conference was great. You can read about it on my blog, martinzender.com. Go to Zenderville. It was a great conference. Clyde's messages were great. Dan's messages were great. I think mine were pretty good. We're going to post these pretty soon. You're going to be able to watch them, and I'll tell you when that happens, and I'll tell you where to go to get those messages. It was a little cool down there, but cool down there is warmer than it is here. Then from there, I took a little R&R and went to visit Bob Wigden over in Sarasota. I thank him for hosting me. And then it was off to see Maury Wilson. Maury and Ruth Wilson, their daughter Maura and her husband Richard, they were down in Englewood. So I'd like to thank them for a great time. And I saw my son play baseball. That was great. God really worked this out. My son and his team took a bus down from Delaware, Ohio. He pitches for Ohio Wesleyan University. The Battling Bishops. That's perfect, because what else do bishops do? They battle, right? It's religious war. And their little icon, their little mascot, it's a really angry-looking theologian dude. It's just like he's grouchy, which all theologians are, you know, most of them, the one because they believe in eternal torment, so how can you not be grouchy? And they're out there killing other people who don't believe like them, so anyway, I don't think that has anything to do with baseball. But my son's team played well. We finished 4-3 down there. And God worked this out. The field where they played was only 15 minutes from Maury and Ruth Wilson's house. How's that? You know, God set that up. I had no idea that was going to happen. So, and I got a little R&R. I'm rested and I'm back. Hey, you know, in Birmingham, they love the governor, right? We all know this. Well, Birmingham, Alabama, we got a conference coming up May 18th and 19th. I'm going to tell you more about this as the time approaches. Laura Johnston is going to be hosting that conference, and in fact is hosting it. Yes, she is doing it. She's organizing it. She's got a place. She's got a time. I'll fill you in with those details as we go. Back to Paul, disoriented and subverted. This is what you can become if you forget who you are. And the one great way to forget who you are, I don't recommend this, is to ignore the letters of Paul. Go to some other place in Scripture where you think it's talking about you, and you will become disoriented. You will start to think that somebody else's call is your call. For instance, you might get crazy enough to think that you're supposed to do the Ten Commandments. Oh my gosh, that's really nuts. Or that you're supposed to build an ark. That's just as crazy. Or circumcise your sons on the eighth day. So you got to stay in the Scriptures meant for you. And otherwise, you will become vain and profane and disoriented and subverted. All these criminal, creepy things, all because you're not reading the right portions of Scripture. Paul is our apostle. I'm still in Clyde Pilkington's book, The Church in Ruins. I know. We've been working on this for what? How many months now? 3 months? That's okay. I'm going to cover this completely. I'm really getting down there, you know. We're just in the last third of this book. And when I get done with this, I'm going to do this series on Revelation. So hang on for that. That's going to be a doozy because we're living in those days. Anyway, my friends Hymenaeus and Philetus swerve as to the resurrection. I'm going to talk about these guys again. I know I can't get past these guys because they missed an important piece of teaching. And if you miss an important piece of teaching, you're going to go off on a rabbit trail. And so, Martin, people are just confused. But again, I say confusion is deadly. So you can lose out on who you are. Who are you? What's your identity? Everybody asks themselves that, except for me. I don't know. I've always known who I was, even when I was a kid. I didn't know I was a member of the body of Christ, but I've always had this conviction that there's a reason I was on this planet. I don't know what it is. I had it early on, like when I was 4 years old. I remember when I was five, I had this really weird experience. I was in my bed and my parents had gone to sleep and I had this crazy thing kept going through my mind, like, what if I hate God? Oh my gosh, what if I hate God? And I was 5 years old. I was thinking these crazy thoughts. And then I started to say it. Oh my gosh, I hate God. I hate God. And I started crying and my mom came in. She goes, what's wrong? She goes, and I said, I don't know. What if I hate God? What if I don't love God? She goes, well, of course you love God. Why are you so upset about this? I said, I don't know. And, you know, she comforted me and as only moms can. And now think happy thoughts. That was my dad always said that. Think happy thoughts. So I would think, you know, I forget what happy thoughts I had when I was 5 years old. They're different than the happy thoughts I have now. I don't know. Sort of different. Maybe they're somewhat the same. But my mom, you know, think happy thoughts. And why did that happen to me at that early age? I think it was because even then I realized that I was going to be an all or nothing guy. I was either going to have to hate God or love God. And I felt like even Satan was battling, you know, for me even back then. And yes, we are in a battle. Don't get all absolute on me and hang your hammock at the consummation. God's going to be all in all. I know that. But in the meantime, Paul says we're in a war. We're in a battle. Our adversary, Satan, we have to put on the armor of God. This is God's armor to protect us from his lies. We're all subject to being deceived. That's why we have to be workmen. That's why Paul was careful, careful, careful. So please, don't get absolute on me and hang your hammock at the consummation. We're in a war. Satan's in a war for you. He wants you. The minute anybody has an inkling about God, Satan is in there wanting to get them to church because he doesn't want them to start thinking honestly and searching honestly. So off you go. Satan has won when you go to church. Son, you need to get to a church. Son, you need to find responsible people. Son, you need to be accountable to pastors and teach. Well, you know, not in the institution, you don't. And so Satan has won when people forget who they are by forgetting who their apostle is. Then, well, look, I'm not saying that, I mean, I know some of you, you know, your secretaries or your contractors, your writers, you work, I know, but that's not your identity. That's not your identity. I know you're a husband, you're a father, you're a wife, you're a daughter, you're all these things, you're an aunt, you're an uncle, you're a great-great-great-great-grandmother, God bless you, I don't know, you might be 150 years old, but that's wonderful. But that's not who you are. These are a result. These are effects of your true identity, which is your identity in Christ, and you need that in place. Who am I? Who am I? You are a son or a daughter of God, and you are a member of the body of Christ, and your so-called marching orders, your truth is found in the letters of Paul, and you are on schedule, you're on target to be vivified and glorified. Vivified means your body's going to be changed. You might be standing in line at Walmart, but very soon your body's going to be changed because you need to take on your new body. That's who you are. You understand? You are a son or daughter of God. That's your essence. You may work at Walmart. That's not your essence. I admire you. That's noble work. It's not your essence. Your essence is a daughter or son of the living God who is also a member of Christ's body. Now, if you don't read Paul, you're going to forget your purpose. You're going to be disoriented. It's easy to get disoriented in this world, like you're in an airplane and there's a whiteout and you're upside down or you're climbing, you're diving. Where am I? I can't see. The world is so confusing. Right. That's right. That's why we're giving you an anchor. I'm giving you anchor. And I need these myself, and I'm always reminding myself, go back to Paul, go back to Paul. When the philosophies of the world or the riches of the world or the treasures start to seduce me, I go back to who I am. What's my grand purpose? Oh, just this, to complete Christ who completes the universe. We complete Christ. I taught this in Florida. You've heard me say this before. But there's some new way I'm going to say it right now that you're going to get it for the first time. Christ isn't complete without his body, the body of Christ. It's not just a theological phrase. I'm a member of the body of Christ. What's the body? What is the, think of the body of Christ. It's the body of him. He is the head of the body. Have you ever seen a head walking around by itself? That's creepy. In the case of Christ, it's incomplete. He's the firstborn among many brethren. That links in here, doesn't it? He's the head and we are the body. He's incomplete with us, like blasphemy, but it's truth. He's waiting. He will not begin the task of completing the universe until he is complete. He completes the universe and we complete him. Wow. Read Colossians chapter 1. He completes the universe and delivers it up to God, but we complete him. That's why Romans 8:20, all creation is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. Why would they do that? Because they're not complete without us. The animal creation groans. All creation groans. I used to walk past the field of cows back when I lived in Greenwich, Ohio. Those moron cows would sit out there groaning. One time I actually walked, you're going to think I'm crazy if you don't already. I'm not. I'm the sanest person I know. But listen, I would walk past these cows one day and I started talking to them. And I taught this one cow was hanging out by the fence and it's, you know, they snort and the water comes out their noses and they look dumb as rocks. But I started talking to this cow and I said, you know, you're not always going to be this bovine in the field with poop smooshed between your hoofs. No. You're going to be changed too, and you're going to be reconciled to God, and all creation is going to return to the Father. And as I started telling this cow this, other cows started coming over. They started walking over to the fence. And before long, there were like 15 cows, and I was talking to them, and it's like they were staring at me, you know, and some of them even stopped chewing their cuds long enough to listen. When a cow stops chewing its cud, you know it's paying attention. You know, it's like...
What did that guy just say? Oh, that was pretty good. Nobody ever preached Romans 8 to us.
So I was preaching Romans chapter 8 to them. All creation, including you cows, are going to be delivered. And that's your purpose. Grand purpose to complete the universe. Not only cows, but sheep and goats. All creation, all humanity, and even the celestial world will be reconciled to God through the body. But the creation is groaning, not only the cows, but the celestial beings, because they're waiting for our manifestation, and so are we. But it might help you to know that others are waiting for it, even the cows. Good to be back with you, and I'll be back here tomorrow. God bless.